Get more at 971talk.com.
Always a pleasure when I get this opportunity to spend it with you and our chief legal analyst, partner at Hairstyle Fisher & Young, Brad Young. Hello, sir.
Ryan, good to talk to you, my friend.
That's 3 weeks in a row we get a chance to talk. Well, I think that's what, 3 weeks in four interviews?
I think so. Good.
That might be a new record. I like it. All right. I wanted to look at some of the different allegations that Tulsi Gabbard made about the former president, Barack Obama. And legally speaking, when you go after a former president and some of the allegations that are made, I want you to give us an idea of the strength of the argument being made. And if you think this is something that has some legs that can move forward. So tell us, what do you think about the allegations first?
Well, the allegations would be difficult to prove. Essentially, the allegations are that the Obama administration knowingly instigated an investigation of then candidate or President-elect Trump in 2016, knowing that the information all came from the Steele dossier, which was paid for by the Clinton campaign, and that members of the intelligence community had already stated that the information was unreliable. And yet the Obama administration continued to make baseless assertions that there may be some sort of a Russian collusion, which we all know now is not only a hoax, but actually demonstrated that the Clinton campaign colluded with the Russians via the Steele dossier. So what can you do about it? Well, first of all, number one, as the Supreme Court has recently held, you cannot really go against a sitting president or a former president for acts, official acts that the president did while in office. So based upon recent Supreme Court precedent, I don't see that there would be any action that could be taken against Barack Obama personally. Now, secondly, could there be actions taken against members of the intelligence community that were part of the Obama administration in 2016? The answer is technically yes, because they wouldn't be covered under the same type of immunity that the Supreme Court gave the president. Having said that, the evidence would have to be so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen that yet. I don't know that you could make a criminal case in a court of law.
Okay. Let's say the whole crux of this is acting in your official capacity as president of the United States. If you are the leader of your party and you're acting to benefit your party, could you make the argument that you weren't acting as a president at that point?
Well, you could certainly make the argument, but the immunity given by the Supreme Court is extremely strong. And so it would really only have to be a plausible allegation that I was acting, concerned that even based upon the Steele dossier, that there was some type of Russian interference in the 2016 election. That in of itself would be more than enough to get past some sort of a summary judgment criminal case here. So I don't even think you could get an indictment on something like that. So really what this is focused on is the court of a public opinion, not a criminal court. But having said that, all of the major mainstream networks have been silent on this because obviously, if you don't talk about collusion, they're in collusion with the left in this country. So you're not seeing much in the court of public opinion because the mainstream media simply isn't covering it.
I'm going to ask this. This is going to be a frank question here. Let's say if it was roles reversed and it was Donald Trump being accused of this, they would have gone to the grand jury. They would have tried to get an indictment. They probably would have been successful to get an indictment. Do you disagree with that or agree?
No, not at all. But it would have to have been brought because it would have been brought in Washington, D.C. All right. And that's the thing that needs to be very clear here is you want to talk about forum shopping. A lot of the left today was concerned about forum shopping. And yet if this were to be brought against Donald Trump, it would come in Washington, D.C., which is one of the most liberal cities in America. So it would have no problem getting a grand jury in Washington, D.C. to indict President Trump if he were in the exact same circumstances as President Obama. So, yeah, very easy to get an indictment in D.C. against Donald Trump.
Got it. Okay. So I guess we'll have to wait and see what the evidence is, whatever's released, to look at the severity of what it is. But based on the evidence that we've seen so far, doesn't sound like anything.
No. Well, I don't know that it doesn't sound like anything. It is concerning that you would literally have the president of the United States manufacturing, knowingly manufacture evidence and knowingly continue to investigate based upon evidence that he knew was simply a creation of a political campaign. That to me is very scary. Now, how much is that going to mean to the average Joe on the street? I'm not sure, but it is important information, and I'm certainly glad that it's getting out there.
Okay. Let's go to the Jeffrey Epstein stuff, because I'm curious about this, because I've seen different reports. For example, the assistant attorney general is going to interview Maxwell, and I always say her first name wrong. Ghislaine, is it? How you say it? I always
Ghislaine,
say it wrong.
Ghislaine. Ghislaine Maxwell.
I don't care how many times I've heard it and how many times other people have said it. I've always got it wrong. Ghislaine Maxwell. Some of the idea is, let's say part of her release would be she can't talk about anything. So where does the First Amendment kick in here? And what is she not allowed to talk about? How could they stop her from talking about anything she wants to talk about when it refers to Epstein?
Okay, let me see if I can break this down quickly and not turn it into a legal seminar. she's been convicted, right? But her case is still technically on appeal. So she doesn't want to talk very much about anything while there's still a slim chance that her convictions will be overturned. Now, the Court of Appeals has already rejected her appeal, and she's filed what's called a writ of certiorari with the Supreme Court, asking the Supremes to take it. The Supremes aren't going to take this case, but there's still the possibility that they could take it. So she doesn't want to go out and talk too much unless she gets a grant of immunity from Congress. And if Congress gives her a grant of immunity saying, we're not going to prosecute you for anything that you say to us, then at that point, she could be compelled to testify. Fifth Amendment doesn't apply if you've been given a grant of immunity, because you cannot be prosecuted for what you say. So that's the next step. And if anyone drags her in front of Congress to ask her questions in the absence of a grant of immunity, then that's just a political stunt to get her to say, I plead the fifth, I plead the fifth, I plead the fifth. Mm-hmm. All right. That is for political cinema and theater. It's not legitimate inquiry or questioning. So bottom line is, will she get a grant of immunity? Yes or no? If she does, it's a legitimate inquiry. If she does not, it's simply being done for the cameras.
Yeah. I think part of it is maybe they don't, she doesn't want people to find out how old she is in her obituary, because that seems to happen all that often. And you mentioned the writ of, writ would be a fantastic dog name, wouldn't it?
Yeah, for certiorari. Actually, I desperately want to name my next dog Stay. So then when I get him trained and I say, come here, Stay, you know, he looks like he's a spaz. That's truly what I want to name my next dog.
Well, stay's another legal term too, isn't it? There's other ways you can work in that. It could be some confusion. There's so many other
Stirpes. You know, you could name a dog Per Stirpes, which is my favorite
constellation.
Term. No, Per Stirpes is actually a legal term talking about how wills, trusted estates are managed and distributed. But you know, if you name a dog Per Stirpes, the other dogs are just going to beat him up. Because
I know.
You got a stupid name, dog. We're going to beat you up.
Your little doggy pocket protector. And, yeah. Keep up with it. Are there any other legal things that you've been following? Something that is getting the legal community all worked up about?
Well, the one thing is, and I think this is what's interesting about the ongoing efforts to depose people who are here on student visas for things that they say. Okay. And we've seen this a lot in the news. In on university campuses, where people come out, they say death to Israel, from the river to the sea, and they make these kind of statements, and then they get deported, and people are screaming out saying, well, wait a minute, they got First Amendment rights. Yes, they do. But here's what's interesting. Nobody's talking about this, Ryan. You are breaking news right here, because as I dug into the Immigration and Nationality Act earlier this week, because I was bored. Okay, I looked into it, and and under the INI, you can actually, the State Department is empowered to deport any student and revoke their visa. And this is the phrase: activities that could have potentially serious adverse foreign policy consequences. Unquote. Now you hear that, and you think, well, yeah, but wouldn't the courts require that, you know, you can't deport somebody based upon violations of the First Amendment? Mm-hmm. What's interesting about that is This has already been decided by the Supreme Court just last year. In the case of Buarfa versus Mayorkas, the Supreme Court issued a unanimous decision. Ketanji Brown Jackson actually wrote the opinion stating that if the State Department deports somebody, then their deportation is not subject to judicial review. So at this point, if people are going to get deported for things that they say, we may not like that from a First Amendment free speech type of perspective. But technically, if it happens, the courts can't overturn it, and it's probably going to be upheld as being valid.
Wow. Okay. That's a big one. Brad Young, Harris Dowell Fisher and Young, and some of the allegations from Tulsi Gabbard, also talking about the Ghislaine. I know I'm going to say it wrong again.
That's it. You got it. Ghislaine Maxwell.
Ghislaine Maxwell. No, all right. Ghislaine
like
Maxwell.
Gollum. You know, like Gollum. Think of her as Gollum. All right. And then you can say Ghislaine.
I don't know. Brad, you're a smart guy. Are there any words you can't say properly? I cannot say that name.
I can't think of any words that I can't pronounce. I'm sure there are, but none are coming to my mind.
Well, Brad Young, Chief Legal Analyst here on 97.1. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure, Ryan. Always.